Now we're seeing some movement following Donald Trump's impeachment by the House. This morning we learned the House plans to vote tomorrow on formally submitting the two articles of impeachment to the Senate, one article for abuse of power, the other for obstruction of Congress. That follows weeks of House Speaker Nancy Pelosi hanging on to those articles, in effect delaying the start of a trial of the president in the Senate. Susan Johnson is an associate professor of political science at UW-Whitewater. Susan, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
First, let's talk, Susan, about the back and forth between Speaker Pelosi and Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. People thought the Senate trial would follow pretty quickly on the impeachment. What was behind this delay? What were the issues at stake here?
Well, it seems to me, and I agree that I also thought that it would be done by now, but obviously I was wrong. Speaker Pelosi decided to hold on to the articles of impeachment after the initial vote in mid-December. And what she was trying to do was ensure that when it got to the Senate and there was a trial, that certain conditions, let's say, were met. Now, I'm not sure that the conditions that she wanted to be met, that in terms of how the trial was run, have been met. But I think that there was increasing pressure on her to move the process along to the Senate, not just from Senate Majority Leader McConnell, but also from members of her own caucus.
Speaker Pelosi was on ABC's This Week over the weekend saying she had always planned to send the articles to the Senate. She justified, and this follows on what you were saying, holding on to them this way.
What we did want, though, and we think we accomplished in the past few weeks, is that we wanted the public to see the need for witnesses with firsthand knowledge of what happened, documentation, which the president has prevented from coming to the Congress as we review this.
As you're saying, Susan, we don't know that Speaker Pelosi will get that we will see witnesses. We also don't know that we won't see them as of right now. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. So there still appears to be up in the air whether or not there will be witnesses called or not. The Republicans have some witnesses they might like to call. The Democrats indicated people that they would like to see called. So, but it appears that votes on whether or not there will be witnesses will not be coming immediately, but will be coming later.
Another possibility came up. Some Republicans in the Senate had wanted to move to just straight up dismiss these charges without even going through any kind of trial. It looks like that's probably not going to happen. What was the back and forth on that?
Yeah, I read Senator Lindsey Graham made a comment today, I think, that you need 51 votes in order to do anything, and there were not 51 votes in the Senate that were willing to go ahead and dismiss. As late as this weekend, President Trump was suggesting that he would like the Senate to just move forward and dismiss. There were discussions throughout this process that potentially that would be an issue, but there were at least a handful of Republican senators who were unwilling to go along with that.
We've seen some Republican senators say they want the trial and they want to maybe hear witnesses. Some allies of President Trump said, no, don't dismiss this. The president would be better off with a trial. It would look more like vindication for the president if they went through a trial and came to a vote afterwards. Is there a political argument to be made there?
You know, I think that everyone is trying to read the tea leaves. And I mean, we don't have a lot of history here, right? There's not a whole lot that we can go back on. And people who remember the Clinton impeachment have ideas that it hurt him. Some say it helped him. Some say it made no difference. So I think that everyone is trying to figure out what that perfect sweet spot is in terms of what is going to be most beneficial, whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, a Trump supporter, a Trump opponent. And I don't know that honestly anybody knows.
Talking to Susan Johnson, associate professor of political science at UW-Whitewater, about the latest on impeachment. A next step now, as we were saying, the House are likely to vote on sending this over. And then this kind of unique role for a member of Congress, they're going to select impeachment managers. What do they do?
So impeachment managers are what we would, I think, consider as prosecutors. And so the managers that are selected or appointed by Nancy Pelosi will then serve as the team that will present the case for impeachment to the Senate.
How important is that role, or has it been in our, well, I guess, two previous impeachments? I know that's a small sample size, but how important is the selection of these impeachment managers?
Well, I mean, I think it's important, but I also think that it's pretty obvious who they're going to be. So during the Clinton impeachment, there were 13. I think people are thinking that in this impeachment, it will be a much smaller number. The 13 during the Clinton impeachment were all members of the Judiciary Committee, and it just made sort of logical sense to appoint those people, and they had different tasks throughout the impeachment process. What I'm reading now is that certainly Adam Schiff, who is not on Judiciary but is the head of the House Intelligence Committee, is likely to be the lead manager, and then perhaps Jerry Nadler, who is the chair of the Judiciary Committee, also obviously very important in the impeachment process, would be managers. And then from there, there's just been a lot of speculation, and I guess we'll learn tomorrow or maybe later tonight, but as of now, we don't know who those others will be.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell talked to reporters today, laying out what could happen if the Senate receives those articles maybe as soon as tomorrow.
We believe if that happens, in all likelihood, go through some preliminary steps here this week, which could well include the Chief Justice coming over and swearing in members of the Senate and some other kind of housekeeping measures. We hope to be able to achieve that by consent, which would set us up to begin the actual trial next Tuesday.
Some other housekeeping measures could come up with a lot of ground. The Senate has to agree on the rules they're going to use to do this trial, right?
Right.
And what kind of things go into that? What kind of decisions have to be made?
Well, I mean, there's decisions on, you know, on procedures. There could be the decisions made as far as when and if decisions would be made about calling witnesses and length of time for speaking and, you know, all sorts of, like you said, the procedural things that will help guide moving forward. People have made a big deal about, during the Clinton impeachment, how the agreement was unanimous and the Senate moved forward with unanimity on what the rules were going to be for the trial. I think I'd be surprised if that happened. What we know is that to this point, the Democrats have not been involved in developing the rules, and that's different from the Clinton impeachment. Mitch McConnell, Majority Leader McConnell, has been working with the White House on sort of what the procedures would be, and he's presented them to his caucus. I believe that was today, but the Democrats aren't really in the loop in terms of what those are, and so I think that if you want 100%, you know, consensus, it's probably best to include everyone in the conversation. So I'm assuming that we're not going to get that.
Talking to Susan Johnson, Associate Professor of Political Science at UW-Whitewater, looking at the latest developments in the impeachment and trial of President Trump. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you think it was a good idea for Speaker Nancy Pelosi to hang on to the articles of impeachment for a few weeks, likely to hand them over to the Senate as soon as tomorrow? Was Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell right to not budge on setting rules for the trial and promising that witnesses could be called? Do you want to see more witnesses, maybe some voices that we didn't hear in the House hearings? If so, who? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We continue our conversation on the latest impeachment developments with UW-Whitewater Associate Professor of Political Science, Susan Johnson. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you think witnesses should be subpoenaed, called in to the Senate impeachment trial of Donald Trump? If so, who would you want to hear from? Do you think this is something that should move quickly through the Senate one way or another? Or do you have questions about the process? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Susan, what kind of names are being bandied about for people who might be called as witnesses if the Senate takes witnesses?
Well, I know that the Democrats have asked about Mick Mulvaney, who is the acting chief of staff, and people who work in his office. I believe that the attorney general's name has come up. I believe others higher up. I mean, and from the Republicans' perspective, they're throwing out names like Hunter Biden and Joe Biden. And Someone else who's come to the fore more recently, which would be a very interesting witness in my opinion, is John Bolton. And he had been the national security advisor, and he was someone whose name appeared prominently during the impeachment hearings in the House by other people who had spoken to him, who had been with him during various parts of all the goings-on with Ukraine and the follow-up of the aid and things like that. So he had originally, back at that point, indicated that he would not appear. And then just recently, he came forward and said that if subpoenaed, he would, in fact, appear as a witness. That then led President Trump to initially indicate that that was fine with him because Bolton knew nothing. But then subsequently, President Trump indicated that should John Bolton testify, that he would exert executive privilege.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Jeff is with us in Superior. Jeff, hello.
Hey, thank you. I totally think this historic moment is an entirely Democratic partisan effort to promote their agenda. I think this impeachment thing is a bunch of disgruntled State Department people who didn't like the policy change in Ukraine, and I think there was no crime committed. And I really want the Republicans in the Senate to dispatch this thing as quickly as possible, and I totally support President Trump, and I plan to vote for him this November.
Jeff, thanks a lot for the call. And Susan, that's going to be up to the Senate ultimately to decide whether a crime was committed or whether the behavior of the president, even if it didn't constitute a crime, is an impeachable offense.
Right.
Can you talk about what they have to consider there?
Right. And so we've heard quite a bit impeachment described as a political process, and it very much is a political process in the sense that they don't have to prove commission of a crime in the way that a trial would, you know, the standards of evidence and things like that. And but I think that a lot of people feel, as Jeff does, that this was motivated politically and, you know, support the president and want to see this come to a quick end.
Thanks, Jeff, for the call. We'll go to Chris now in Eau Claire. Chris, hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. What did you want to bring up, Chris?
So there was only two points. One, I think that Nancy Pelosi hanging on to the impeachment articles didn't work to her favor. I think it allowed Republicans to frame the conversation, kind of putting the ball in their court, which I'm not sure if that was the best idea. The second comment that I had was, in any type of criminal proceedings where there's an indictment and you go to court where you have two lawyers, a judge, and a jury of your peers, in any type of those proceedings, you would always be able to call witnesses. So I think the ability to call witnesses in this type of situation is kind of built into our perception of what a justice system looks like.
Chris, thanks for the call. To that second point, Susan, some people have made the analogy the House impeachment is like an indictment by a grand jury, then the Senate trial is like a criminal trial. Not a perfect analogy, but Chris is saying, following up on that, that would imply that you should have the ability to call witnesses as you would in a trial. Is that an argument that people are making?
That's definitely an argument that people are making. I think that that's the simplest way to explain what the process is, but I think that it doesn't fully explain the process by using that, although I've used it many, many times. you know what I mean? But there's more to it. And again, getting back to, first of all, I mean, the role of the Chief Justice. He certainly isn't in a role of judge as we would view a judge in a regular criminal trial, for example. And then there's many other ways where it's not analogous to a trial.
Thanks for the call, Chris. Time for one more caller. Mario is with us in Black River Falls. Mario, hi.
Yeah, good evening. I have so many things I want to say, but I know I have to keep it short. you know, our judicial system today has been made a mockery of time and time again. I don't believe that we should be even following through to fruition on this. That's just my own personal opinion. I have been I've been in combat. I'm a war veteran. I've seen the results of countries that failed to provide for their population. We are, however, are not one. We do have a lot of issues with due process and whatnot. We also have a lot of issues with the border, you know, so on and so forth. Hunger here in the United States, although it might not be rampant in our area, but nevertheless.
Mario, I'm going to jump in because you just have a few moments left. But the argument, I think there, Susan, that the impeachment is a distraction from more important stuff. That's been an argument certainly from the president, among others.
It's been an argument from the president. I think it's been an argument from some Democrats who feel like they'd rather be focusing on other issues, and they've come back and showed how they have been focusing on other issues. I think that there's probably some Democrats who are going to be on the stage tonight debating who wish that we were talking about things besides impeachment. So I'm guessing if you talk to most people, they would like to see us be thinking about other things.
Thanks a lot for the call, Mario. In our last minute, Susan, I won't ask you to predict what's going to happen because who could, but what are you focusing on over the next week or so?
I'm focusing on the issue. I'm focusing on the vote procedurally to see whether or not there's consensus. And then I'm going to be focusing on what happens in regard to witnesses and what sort of agreements they're going to make about whether or not witnesses are going to be called. And Susan, I'm always watching the president's Twitter feed.
And you'll have a lot to talk about with your students in this coming term, I imagine.
Absolutely.
Susan, thanks as always for joining us today.
Happy to do it.
That's Susan Johnson, Associate Professor of Political Science at UW-Whitewater. We talked there today about the latest impeachment developments, including a vote likely tomorrow in the U.S. House over formally sending the articles of impeachment to the Senate. Once things get up and rolling in the Senate, we'll have a lot of live coverage from NPR here on Wisconsin Public Radio.